Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat pod. The headline this week, the villains steal all 3 points. Today I am joined by my brother Craig and our good friend Brady. Guys, it's another loss. They just keep coming. How are we feeling?
Yeah, down to seventh now, except, all the teams between third and ninth are within 7 points of each other. So we've got a massive last 12 games coming up, and yeah, I'm ready for them.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, it was one of the better performances of the season, but we lost. I mean, Chelsea have done a lot this year where they've played badly and won, played okay and won, and things like that, but on the bingo card of this, it was almost going back to Anfield where you should have got something out of the game and you didn't. And so it was a positive performance, but the results continued to be pretty poor.
It was the January signings who stole the show for Aston Villa. 2-1 the game finished to Aston Villa. 2.3 expected goals each. Early goal from Enzo Fernandez, that was cancelled out by Marco Asensio, and then he also got the winner in the 89th minute, thanks to a mistake, we'll say, from the goalkeeper. 48% possession for Chelsea, 86% pass accuracy, 6 shots on target out of 15, and 4 saves out of 6 for Jorgensen. Let's do some likes and dislikes. Craig, I'll come to you first. What did you like or dislike?
Well, dislike is just the overall dislike is that the injuries are really starting to catch up with us, not just the starters, but the squad depth. I think when you looked at options off the bench to try and help us in the game in the second half, when I thought we could use a bit of a freshen up, you know, you're looking at that bench and thinking there's not much available really in terms of something that could help the team. And we've got now 3 games in a week with Southampton coming. Obviously, they're not as tricky games as they could be, but Southampton coming and then Leicester coming on Sunday. So the squad's going to be tested, and yeah, it is catching up with us a bit.
Dislikes. We've gone from rocket launchers to lollipops in terms of breaking down the doors of defences. 1.1 goals per game since the Everton match for the last 10 matches. Before that, it was 2.2 goals per game. And we did go on a really hot streak then, so maybe it's a bit of a skewed sample size. But, you know, 2 Premier League games back side to side. And we scored double the goals in the former example. So, not good.
I love your expression, by the way, the knocking the door down with a lollipop. And I heard another one the other day, trying to cut a fillet steak with a spoon. same sort of thing.
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we'll probably be sponsored by Chopper Chops next season if we haven't got a sponsor. But, I mean, there's reasons why we're not scoring goals. I mean, usually when you don't play well as a team, you don't score goals. I mean, you know, that's obvious. But the win or lose or draw in the early part of the season, we were a dangerous team, you know, radioactive. But we've gone to just plain vanilla, poor, rubbish, just not rubbish, but meh. Just gone from meh, really. Just kind of turned into a bit, basically turned into like a mid-table 12, you know, 10th to 12th place team, really, in terms of stats, and that's clearly not a good thing. And so I'm hoping that the game's coming up. Obviously, we've got Southampton at home. We've got 4 games coming up, Southampton at home, Copenhagen away, then Leicester at home, then Copenhagen at home. But we can, you know, for want of a better term, stat pad and just get some goals.
Yeah. My dislike is a pretty obvious one, but again, talking about an away game, talking about mistakes from players, thinking back to some of the away games we've had this season. Not too long ago, obviously, Sanchez making mistakes, giving away penalties, Colwell, just been really poor concentration levels toward, you know, in these matches at certain times. And it's got to change. It has to change. There was some really sloppy errors throughout the game, to be honest with you, from certain players. But yeah, it's cost us again.
We might come on to in temperatures.
Yeah, but yeah, it's been another disappointing outing for us in terms of we've shot ourselves in the foot, and it's been a bit of a story of the season, really, unfortunately for us. All right, let's do some likes.
Like for me is that we are finding solutions. I think Neto up top, just that freshen up and the structure that he Maresca found, I think is one that's finally worked. I think he's been searching for this since Jackson went out for sort of a way of balancing the team a bit better. And yeah, like Brady said, obviously I'm talking like we won, but you know the performance was much, much improved, and that was an important aspect of the game. So I think yeah, finding a solution was a positive for that, and I think we might see similar shape, you know, for these next few games.
My dislike, also I keep mixing it up today. My like was playing opposite games. My likes are, like I said before this game, I think we were, I wouldn't say at a dead end, but kind of almost like a dead end brick wall in terms of with the pawns on the chessboard that we had, the pieces that we had to play the same system that he was doing. I think changing the system might have thrown Emery a little bit. I don't think he would have ever expected us to play 4-3-3. It worked okay. There were some issues. Reece James in midfield playing 90 wasn't ideal. The fullbacks didn't have a great game, which is kind of disappointing because they're both back in their natural position. But yeah, I like that the manager showed something where a little bit of self-awareness, like I said before, to freshen it up. He clearly felt that the team needed it, and that's a sign of good management in the long term. So I was happy with that.
Yeah, definitely the like is the change up with... I'm not so... I mean, the thing up front was good, but for me, it was getting another DM in midfield, which helped, again, give Enzo Fernandez the freedom to play his game. And again, we saw the benefits of that. And I don't know what it's going to take for this to sink in with Maresca, but I really hope he doesn't go back to playing Caicedo and Enzo as a two, because it didn't work last season when Pochettino was mucking around with it, and it hasn't worked this season. So really glad that he stuck someone else in there next to Caicedo, and it balanced the team out nicely.
I would say as well, you know, disrespect to Enzo Fernandez, I know he scored a goal in this game. I don't rate him much as a 10 in either. I think you could get an even better player in a 10 you could get Nkunku in a 10, whoever. You could play Palmer. You could play other players who are going to be... You could play that 10, two wingers and a striker, and it'd be, you know, a bit more effective than it was really. So, no disrespect to Fernandez there, but... If we do play this 4-3-3 system, it is exciting, where maybe you could have Lavia and Caicedo and like another 10. Maybe they can dip into the market for it, or use Nkunku or whoever to kind of push on a little bit, because that could be really nice, especially in the game that we've got coming up.
Well, I think Santos is, for me, an ideal fit, because he's a very balanced midfielder, and I think that would
suit
him.
He's a bit more defensive, though, isn't he, in terms of he's not an actual pure 10. Like, I think a player like Morgan Gibbs-White would be a good fit in that sort of role, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe this Stewsbury Hall guy might get it.
Stewsbury Hall, yeah. I mean, that's his position, yeah. Who knows?
His position, technically.
We might see that in the Copenhagen games.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on to the players. Let's do temps.
Time to see whose form's on top, who's heating up, whose temperature's dropped, who's been playing well and who's not. It's freezing, warming up, boiling hot.
Power of the temperatures means I will return to first spot. rotated around nicely for me. In the freezer, this is difficult because there's an obvious choice. But I've got to go with the obvious choice, to be fair, and that's Philip Jorgensen, who cost us the game. One of the things I dislike about his performance was how shaky we looked on set pieces again. It doesn't command the area very well, which Sanchez does. And then obviously we were promised more composure on the balls, but I mean, some of the stuff he was doing with the ball was crazy. It was like Sanchez was playing, basically. I don't know how that's happened, because he seemed a lot more comfortable when I watched him before. But yeah, he had a really bad game, and then obviously that culminated in a mistake at the end, which was the reason we lost the game, and that's bad. So poor performance from Jorgensen, but we'll see if he makes it out for the next one. He might be rotated out just because it's a midweek game, but
I think Maresca said he's going to keep him in, which I think is good.
Yeah, but yeah, bad game.
Yeah,
can't say fair than that.
I wanted to comment on Jorgensen. It's a bit of a funny game for Jorgensen, because he actually made a lot of good saves in this game before that. I think he played pretty well before that, but the issue that I have with him, when you look at FootMob in terms of the certain stats, the high claim is basically always nearly zero. And I've kind of lazily compared him to Kepa a little bit. He's not that bad, but he is not commanding in terms of the ball kind of crossing or anything like that. That is the one thing that Sanchez does have over him, even though he made that faux pas against Wolves. I think in this game, there was one where it just got floated into the box and he just went for it and just completely missed it. It is a bit worrying. I mean, I just didn't realise this looking at the stats. He got one out of 11 accurate long balls, 9%. I mean, even Sanchez will struggle to do this.
That's what Sanchez was doing literally every week. So
I don't think it was ever low as 9%. I mean, that's pretty low.
I think it was 0% one game.
Maybe. But like 13 out of 23 accurate passes, like not okay, 57%. You know, he actually prevented 0.12 goals basically. But even with the, you know, the error that led to a goal, like he's still got like above, he's still rated 5.6 actually when an error led to a goal on like the stat site. So I think he had an okay game before that. But I mean, it's such a bad error. It's such a bad moment for him. It was a high profile game, and yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, immediately after the game, Maresca was asked whether Philip will start the next game, and he said he didn't know. And then he revised it in the press conference today for Southampton. But it's not good when you've got your managers not really clearly unsure about who to play from week to week. And we've obviously got the Conference League and League back to back. So I don't think Jorgensen's going to sleep tonight knowing that he's starting. And when you've made a big error, that is an issue.
Yeah, I think the benefits in possession of having Jorgensen are worth it, for especially in these games that we've got coming up against Leicester and Southampton. You could argue like more physical teams maybe that are going to put a few more crosses in. We're going to face a lot more set pieces against teams that have more of the ball than us, or maybe are favourites against us. Like for example, Arsenal away would be a possibility for him to play Sanchez, but. You know, right now, I think both, you know, I don't think either are going to be our starter next year, but I think we've got to give Jorgensen a chance and give him a run of games. Obviously, very, very disappointing that he, yeah, like Chris says, gave the game away really at the end. I'm sure he'd be gutted with that himself. But I think off the back of like a decent performance in possession against Brighton as well, I think I would stick with him. I think Maresca will as well.
I mean, the one thing he can't do now is make another mistake. There's a lot of pressure on him going into that game, because Leicester are going to get probably a couple of breakaway chances, aren't they? So it's, can you, you know, he needs to be there for those. And if one goes through his hands again, it's just going to feel really bad in the stadium, because we'll feel like we're at a loose end with it all. So, yeah, it's big pressure for him. He's so young. 22. So good luck to him. Brady, who have you got for your freezer?
Well, my freezer was. I'm next to my. I thought when you say the obvious one, I thought you were going to say this one, because I thought there was an absolute standout freezer in this game. I've usually caveat this player where they're playing out of position, or. But you know, I'm going to say it's Malo Gusto. He was playing at right back, his usual area. And I've got to say, I don't say this lightly. He dropped maybe one of the worst performances I've seen in a Chelsea shirt all season. He was absolutely diabolical in this game. And I don't say that lightly. He was awful. And, I mean, it's like he was wearing clown shoes. He couldn't control the ball. He was playing in all the areas that he's usually really good at. You know, that kind of 30, 40 yards out to the right. Kind of that area where he can, you know, do crosses from 30 yards out. but on the byline, even got to the byline a couple of times, but just terrible. I mean, reading the stats, only 4 passes into the final third, not good enough. 0 accurate crosses. He did get 5 out of 10 ground duels, which is a bit better for him recently. Same with the tackles, 1/2 of his tackles. Was dribbled past twice. Yeah, crumbs of XA, nothing. And he had like a P-roller of an effort on goal. I mean, you could do like a Malo Gusto bingo card at the moment for all his stats. I mean, he's just awful at the moment, wherever he's playing. And it's a real shame. Like, I'm going in on the player. I look like I did Madueke because I like the player. And he's a good player, I think. But the performances this year, it's so disappointing. So, yeah, you thought you might have a bit of a star last year and maybe, you know, really competing for that right-back berth of Reece James, but he looks completely overwhelmed and understacked, or I don't know, just not ready to play for Chelsea at the moment, and he's just really, really playing poorly.
Yeah, I mean, I'll echo that in that I think that Gusto had probably the worst performance of any player I've seen play for Chelsea this season, and that, like you say, we've had some bad performances this season. So, yeah. The actual stats don't show it as bad as it was because he had some really bad giveaways. Though it was only 4 of them, they were absolutely shocking, like easy passes. He's playing in his normal role. His energy was good, but yeah, just dribbled past way too easily in the second half by Rashford a couple of times as well. He doesn't look good, you know, he just doesn't look good. And the goal really as well won't get credited as an error for a goal, but horrible technique, the way he like looks over his wrong shoulder trying to track the cross. As a right back, really, that should be your bread and butter, those like crosses coming into the far post. You know how to deal with them, you know your body position, you know, flicking up in the air for someone like the way he did that. I mean, that was just so poor. Frustrating.
I'm surprised he left him at right back when Rashford came on. I was surprised that he didn't move Reece James back. And, you know, Rashford's not a...
Bring who on, though? I thought the structure was fine.
Yeah, I think you can make some... I think it's less Amagu. Of an issue. Who?
Amagu, maybe, could have come on.
Well, you know, you can go back to recruitment and why that was a terrible signing because you can't actually play. But I'm surprised he didn't put Reece James at right back because Rashford's a really good player at the moment. He's in a really good bit of form, experience, and I think, you know, Reece James probably doesn't let that goal happen. He probably deals with him a lot better as well. You know, we've seen how well he can defend. So,
I mean, let's be frank. I think any League Two defender would deal with that goal. I mean,
you'd expect Gusto to deal with that as well.
That's what I feel for Maresca a bit in this game. Because I've been critical of Maresca recently, and I've had my doubts about him recently. But in this game, you can't blame him. It's basically just 2 goals we just gave him. You know, this game for me was a little bit, this is why frustrating. It felt like a little bit of a, we nick a 1-0. Maybe it should have been a draw. But that got turned into a 2-1 victory for Villa because we just gave him 2 goals.
And any experienced team worth their salt never loses that game.
Yeah, I agree.
With the way it's set
up. Yeah, and I don't know what, why don't you just kick the ball out as well? But whatever. He was like also trying to bring it down.
Yeah.
Anyway, very
he was
weird.
Stretching for it and whatever, but I guess he was caught in 2 minds. But yeah, so poor.
Just kick it out for a corner. But yeah, he was really bad throughout the game. Definitely some, like his first touch was, it was tough to watch. Really, really was. Lots for him to work on, Gusto, and probably see him against. We'll probably see him actually in the next couple of games. So,
we'll definitely.
One
see
thing
him
I'd say is this is his position. So, you know, maybe he just needs to run a game. So, hopefully, he can improve because he has played well in that position. Let's not pretend he hasn't had.
I don't think Reece James coming off the back of 90 is going to play at all against Southampton on.
We've got Amagu, isn't it? So he can step in to midfield.
I guess so.
Right, who's Craig? You got Freezer?
I mean, obviously, those are the 2 real standout worst performances, but I'm going to talk about Nkunku again. Anonymous again, offering no threat to dribble past players, safe. His 100% pass accuracy sums him up, to be honest. that's what you'd expect from a centre back, to be honest, when they're on the ball, is to be keeping the ball 100% of the time when they're passing it. He never tries anything. There were so many times where he has the ball in the first half, where there's runners in behind, Cucurella, Enzo, never plays the pass, never risks losing the ball. Attitude on the pitch stinks, throwing his hands up in the air. Every time Palmer shoots, Palmer had a shot from inside the D on his left foot, and he's moaning on the far side. I mean, of course he's going to shoot when he's on his left foot in the D. I mean, it ended up not being a good effort, but that's, you know, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. You know, for me, no business playing in our team. Absolutely no business playing in our team. The reason he is playing right now is because there's no one else. If anyone else could play right now, he'd be stuck on the bench.
Not true, is it? Because Sancho could have played, couldn't he?
Yeah, Sancho's there.
Well, Sancho's himself been very poor. You know, the two poor options, I guess, is what you'd say. You know, there's no one that's coming in right now that hasn't played. Like, let's say if Mudryk got off the ban right now, I think he would start this position for us. So
that's it. Let's give Mudryk some props. It's all gone wrong since he's been banned, guys. He deserves it. Yeah, he wasn't good. I agree. I think very safe. Bit too safe for me. Although it can be helpful in like those sort of away games to retain possession, I think there needs to be more of a drive to really create something and be innovative. I've seen him be like that, so I don't really know what's going on
exactly.
with him.
I don't know what's going on, because I think we all saw a player there last season, right?
It's pretty clear what's going on. I mean, if you don't know what's going on, I'm not sure what to say.
No, but that's nothing to do with, like, I know what you're going to say because you said it last week, but. Come on.
It's a football game. Welcome to the real world. Like, everyone's on the bench. Rashford's just been stuck on the bench at United for 6 months. Like, everyone's been stuck on the bench. When you get your chance, get out there and play.
Yeah, I think once you cross the white line.
Essentio hasn't played any minutes for PSG.
He wasn't great in this game, I'll be honest. But when you say he's safe, I agree, but that also can bring control into the game, and kind of that's what Maresca wants.
Once you cross the white line on a football pitch, you're in the game. It doesn't matter about what's going on.
You can say you don't like him, but questioning his attitude and like he's.
I like him as a player.
I think questioning his attitude when he's been basically given peanuts of minutes after being like the star signing last summer.
I think you can have that excuse. Yeah, I can have that excuse for one game. You know, toys out of breath. He's been starting every week. Like, what's he going to do on Tuesday?
Well, the one thing I will say is this has been the first time he's really been started in his best position. So, I mean, I said to Craig in a group, he might look like a bit of a, we can't say on the pod, he might be distasteful in the way he's doing it. But other than Palmer, he is our only route to goals. I mean, I know Fernandes scored the
other
day. He
hasn't got any goals. He never scores goals.
Yeah, but historically, Craig, he can score goals. I mean, we've got Southampton, Leicester and Copenhagen. We've got four games coming up where he could easily score 5-6 goals.
I'll put it like this, yeah? When the game finished, yeah, did you think that Neto gave everything to try and win that game?
Yeah, but the thing is, Neto...
Just answer the question, John.
He's been in and out the team as well this season, Neto.
Yeah, Neto. Neto's
form has also been tragic at right wing.
No, but do you think when he left the pitch, you thought, oh God, Neto didn't really look like he
the
was
thing
trying?
Is, I don't really... For me, I'm looking past the we gave it everything. You know, some players have just better ability than others. Like in Nkunku,
that's where you start. You've got to start with effort and like.
I don't think Nkunku left
the pitch going, "Oh my god, he literally gave everything he could." Like that's the best I've ever seen him play.
Just, a lot of players are like that.
I mean, I think Brady as well. Like it doesn't come across as well on TV how lazy he is. Maybe as well, like off the ball. No, I know people were talking about Morecambe.
I'm not saying he's like some hungry presser, but. It
doesn't even matter. You can be late. You can be like not the best presser, but there's a bare minimum of effort and care. Like basically, when Nkunku goes home after that game on Saturday night, he goes to wherever he lives in London or you know Surrey, wherever it is. I don't think he cares one bit about losing 2-1.
I'm not sure how you can say that. I mean,
that's the impression he gives.
Enzo Fernandes was crying after the game, mate.
But that doesn't really register with me because Enzo Fernandes has dropped so many stinkers this year, and now he's crying after we lose.
But that's effort,
I don't garner sympathy for that. I don't garner
sympathy.
Enzo Fernandes will
It's not about sympathy. It's showing that you care, you know, about the result.
Like, look at Caicedo. Like, he really cared. Like, he's putting tackles in. He's given everything. Is Nkunku doing the same thing?
If you think you could build a top team with Nkunku in it, I mean, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know what you're seeing in him to think.
Let's have this conversation in 3 weeks when he's probably.
Yeah, of course. Well, they've got Southampton at home, the worst team in the Premier League.
We can't literally buy a goal at the moment.
That's the last time he scored a goal was when he played the worst team in the Premier League.
You know how many minutes he's played in the league this year?
And he got a tap, and it was an open goal as well. By the way,
he's played 614. He's played 614 minutes in the whole season.
You remember his goal, yeah? Against Southampton.
Craig, you're doing this thing where you're like, I'm saying something and you're just not listening. Like, he's played minutes.
He's like, got 600 minutes, and how many goals
Felix were bought, probably promised, we're going to get loads of minutes. They got 1,000 minutes between them, and one of them left for Milan because he's unhappy, and the other one's unhappy at the club because he's not getting any minutes.
You just said that, though. Like, nothing's come out that he's unhappy.
Obviously he's unhappy. Like, he hasn't started. I mean,
he is started now though, so there aren't any excuses.
Yeah, okay, he's starting now after 6 months.
Only February, yeah.
I mean, this is
only like, started in
August. Basic like human psychology. Like, he's basically like it's just like, right, you're in a B team. All right, everyone's injured. Now you're in the A team. It's not a great look, is it?
I think like there's a difference between say we're playing Aston Villa and he's not played at all for like 3 months and you bring him on and you're like, oh, he's looking a bit dejected. I'd be like, yeah, I completely get that. He's starting like the last three games. So there isn't, he can't play that anymore.
Massive games for us as well. Two massive Premier League games and an FA Cup game we need to win.
Yeah, he's got no excuses anymore.
He's actually been played in his like best position for the first time all season.
Oh no! Look, Reece James is stuck there playing midfield.
Everyone, loads of players are
playing out of position. Cole Palmer was out on the right.
The thing
wing.
Is, every team needs a scapegoat, and the thing is, the whole team is poor. And I'm not saying he's going to look good doing it or impress people doing it, but he has got so much more goal and assist for it than a lot of our attackers. And you'll see it by the end of the season. It's simple as that. He can score goals.
The two easiest games of the season are the next two home games, and he'll be starting both of those.
So, what about that Bournemouth goal? I mean, that was an unbelievable goal.
That was the only goal he scored this season in the Premier League outside of the open goal he scored against Southampton.
He's
played 600 minutes. How many starts here? Three starts?
Nah, you're making too many excuses for him, I think, I agree with you last week, but I can't...
I think there's a lot of attackers who should go through this club, and I don't think he's one of them. I think we've misused him, and I think we've mistreated him. And I think
he probably is a bit
lazy and a bit tetchy and a bit moany, but maybe you don't see that side of him if you nurture him, put your arm around him and use him.
We haven't got time for that for a 27-year-old. He is the easiest sell of the summer. Christopher
Nkunku. I completely disagree with that. To be honest,
I agree. I do think he needs to be sold. Unfortunately,
you stop selling players like Nkunku and getting like Delapin. We won't get anywhere if we do that.
He's never going to play next season either, right? Cole Palmer's not going anywhere. Yeah. So where's he going to play next season? He's the easiest sale of the summer, and he's our second highest paid player. Like, it's the easiest sale you could ever find.
That's the Clear Lake way. Get the high earners out and get the young players the potential in. You love all that, but I want Chelsea to win now. And he's a quality player and he can help us.
I agree he's a good player, but he's not showing it. So sort of no
well, he's not showing it. All right, and we're going round and round circles. He's not showing it because he hasn't basically played his best position all season. And he's basically been iced for a 7 month.
600 minutes a long time, yeah?
Yeah, but if that's his attitude, Brady, then he needs to go, doesn't he?
This is absolutely down to the manager.
I find it hard to believe, to be honest. I don't know, obviously, this is a personal like take for you, but I don't think there's many other players that be strutting around the pitch like him that you'd give a pass to. I don't think that would be.
He's got... Because this team hasn't got enough quality in attack, and he's actually got quality. Look at our attack. Sancho needs to leave. Not good enough. Neto, good player, can't score a goal. Doesn't score enough goals. Cole Palmer's the best player.
He was brilliant. Anyway, we'll come on to him probably.
Like Mudryk, you know, probably never coming back. Who else we got? Tyreek George, young kid. Who else we got? Jackson. Jackson's a really good attacker. Fantastic off the ball, but didn't score enough goals.
Madueke, Estevao, William.
Yeah. Well, William's like the premier. Let's not talk about them.
But this is next season. We're talking about next season.
Yeah, but Madueke as well. Yeah, really good player. But I think, I don't know. I mean, why did they buy him then? Because this was a Clear Lake signing. So who scouted him? They scouted him as a nine, and he's not a good enough nine.
No,
so
Christopher Nkunku is a very, very good player, but yeah, he's not showing it today. So that's of no benefit
to us. Let's see if he scores a hat-trick versus Southampton, a brace versus Everton.
That will be good, but I need to see it against Arsenal as well. And I need to see it against Tottenham.
How many of our attackers can score a goal against Arsenal?
But you just told me that he's really good. Well, let's see it then. Because everyone needs to be, like, you know, brought up to his level. He's not helping anyone, is he?
I think it's, like, pretty clear what's gone on.
All right. Any other freezes? I mean, we did lose.
Even though we lost, I think those were really the three standout worst players on the pitch.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I would actually give a little shout-out to Tosin, just because he was doing some weird stuff when he came on.
He's a bit championship Tosin, isn't he? Like, he's just a bit.
Yeah, he's just sort of like,
He's a bit like
up in the ball.
He's a bit Fulham because we've got. I don't have a championship. You can't just say he's all right, fine. He's more like Fulham, maybe not championship. He's pretty good.
Nah, he's just hoofing the ball at the pitch.
Yeah, he's very safe. Like, look, he doesn't want to make a mistake, and maybe a few other players played like that in this game as well. To be honest.
Palmer going in the freezer?
I mean, he's, I guess, playing out of position would be my...
he was in that position last season when he was banging out.
One thing I'll say about Palmer is there's two ways to look at attitude. Like, Nkunku's attitude stinks, and Palmer's throwing his hand up and crying every time he misplaces the pot. I mean,
I would be critical of Palmer's attitude.
Palmer made an absolute terrible pass to Nkunku, booted it off, and then started shouting at him.
No, because
he did laser that ball like off the pitch.
He lasered it. Nkunku's standing still. If you're running onto it, it's an okay ball.
I'll show you a couple of video clips from Nkunku being like flat-footed like that.
But that wasn't the issue for that moment. I
don't think Roadrunner would have got that pass.
I think Palmer cost us the win. He had the best chance of the game. I mean, the goalie's on the floor. He's too many touches, weirdly.
He's basically carrying this team, and he has done for a long time. I'm never going to put him in the freezer unless he drops a real stinker. But, you know, it's the same thing. Throwing your arms up in the air, you know, just walking off down the tunnel. That's what Palmer does. Palmer doesn't get any heat for that. Palmer never goes and claps the fans. He's always down the tunnel.
So that's not true. So just to confirm, Palmer does come over with the team.
At Brighton, he went straight down the tunnel.
And possibly that's true. I wasn't at Brighton, but...
The clip that you said, that everyone went off, he was the first down the tunnel. He's done it loads of times.
He's got a weird attitude, Palmer. It's like... Everyone needs to get to his level, kind of thing. I don't know.
When he missed a chance, he was sitting down for like 30 seconds. You see that? What's he doing?
Well, I think he's just gutted that he missed it.
Yeah. I mean, Palmer will give him a pass to a bit more as well because of his age. You know, he's very young. He's 21, just turned 22. You know, I think one of the things you look at for, you know, player like Nkunku when he's older, like 27 years old, is a bit of leadership. And obviously that isn't what you get.
I'm not looking for leadership from Palmer, but I think you've got to say that. Yeah, I mean, he's a young kid. He doesn't like to lose, and that's probably it. But
yeah,
I mean, there was.
I think Palmer could do with growing up a bit, but it's you know that'll come probably. So
yeah, agreed. I think it's a frustrating period for him. He missed some good chances, and he made some mistakes. And he's supposed to be the go-to person, and his numbers aren't good for the first time in a long time in terms of like last sort of seven or eight games. So. Or six games, so yeah, look, there's always ample opportunity to improve those. There's always another game, so hopefully he does. Right, let's do some warming up. Let's get some positivity buzzing around here. I'm gonna warm up someone who played 90 minutes for the first time in a long time. I'm gonna warm up Reece James. I don't think he actually played super well. He made a few weird mistakes, but I commend the fact that he played 90 minutes. He wasn't subbed off. I think this is a real hallmark moment for him.
In midfield as well, by the way.
Yeah, really tough area to play. Really tough position for him. I think when he's facing forward, he's very, very good. He sees the game really clearly. He knows exactly where the ball should go, and he plays the ball with a good pace as well, like his passing. When he's not facing the goal, forward. He seemed to struggle a lot, which is weird because he's quite good, right back when the press comes. So I think he'll get better in that spot. I think he just needs to practice a little bit more, maybe just some drills. But yeah, like really, a lot of people, obviously he played a few games before, but this 90 minutes midfield, that's a real good moment for him. And it's good to see him back. And although he didn't play the best game, I think it was it helped us really push forward with the performance, him playing there. So a real captain's effort to step in and do that.
Yeah, happy that he got through 90. That probably means we won't see him, like I said, on Tuesday night. But yeah, he's good effort in midfield as well. Like you said, I think out of possession, he looked a little bit like a fish out of water sometimes. But in possession, I mean, keeps the ball so well. He's so strong on the ball. And yeah, he's a unit in there as well. Looking forward to seeing him play a bit more down the stretch.
Tough with McGinn in there, yeah? He's a firecracker, yeah. So you've got to be up for it.
And Tielemans, they're both really good, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's just, hopefully we're going to get Champions League football this season. We need Reece James playing three times a week, I mean, if he can. And that's just what we need. I mean, it probably isn't possible with, what was that, injury worries, but he's conditioning, we'll say. Or he's, they're very cautious of him. But it's, when you say he won't play Tuesday, that's a big blow because it's a massive game and we need the captain on the pitch. And I don't love Fernandes as a vice captain. And like you said, it was a captain's performance. And let's say Southampton score first on Tuesday, tomorrow night. I mean, it could happen. They fluke a goal or they get a goal. You need the captain on there. So it's kind of in and out. He builds something with a team and then he's gone again. It's difficult. It's a difficult situation, and he's an unbelievable player, and he's becoming a really good captain. Actually, a lot of good leadership. There was a bit where I can't remember it was some player. Oh, Caicedo. I think Caicedo was already on a booking. And he's about to go and argue with a ref, and Reece James literally pulled him back and went stop.
Yeah, that was really good.
And like really good, like becoming a really good captain. But you can't affect games when you're not on the pitch. So I don't know. They need to. I mean, I know we can't, obviously, because of the injuries, but we need to start chopping his minutes up next season where, I don't know, he plays. He comes off in the 65th minute or the 70th minute every game because we need him every game, not every third game or second game, because he's our best player, really, overall. So
probably need a good backup as well. That's probably going to be helpful for him. Craig, who you got? Oh, no, Brady, sorry. Wait, no.
He might have been boiling hot, but I put him warming up as Neto. I thought Neto was really good in this game. He ran the channels fantastically. I mean, he became like a really good placeholder for Jackson, probably for the next few games for that false 9-9 position. He ran the channels. He ran the high line. He was maybe versus a team that sit deep, it won't be nearly as effective. But versus a high line team like against Arsenal, I think it could work really well when we play them a few weeks. Maybe against Spurs when they play high line, maybe Jackson will be back then. But yeah, against high lines, he was really effective. Obviously, got the assist. The reason I didn't put him in boarding hot is because he did miss a few chances. No massive chances. I think all the XG added up to about 0.55. So I don't think he missed any big chances. But in front of goal, he could have been a bit more clinical. But that's not really his strength, really. Like, he's more of an assist machine and kind of works his socks off a little bit more than that. But he improved the dynamic of the attack tremendously. So might be a bit boiling hot as well, but for me, it was just warming up. And I think we'll probably see him. The gap between the next game and Leicester, I think, isn't there for, I think, like a 10-day gap, something like that. Something like that, because we're not in the FA Cup. So, if he can play against Southampton in the 9 or wherever, and then can be used against Leicester and in the Copenhagen games as well. And we've got Copenhagen in between, actually, but if a good role, especially if a good alternative for us, especially versus like a high line, if we've got a striker out, and it's nice. I mean, it just works so much better than Nkunku in the 9, so it's good.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Just another player though coming into that position, out of position, but he made it work with endeavour, work rate, effort, all things that you love to see from players, that come in playing out of position and just trying their hardest to make an effort and put in a shift for the team. So all credit to Neto. Yeah, like you said, not a natural 9, not a natural finisher in central areas like that, but got the assist as well. Great assist for Enzo's goal, which should have put us down a good path. But yeah, tireless runs in behind. pressing so hard, sprinting, you know, really giving everything for the shirt. So can only praise Pedro Neto. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. He epitomised what we want to be like, I think.
Yeah.
I think better pressing than Jackson, in my opinion. Much more targeted. He's sprints.
Jackson's like an elite presser, but maybe.
Nah, Jackson just runs around a lot, I think.
I don't know about that.
No, I'd agree with Chris in that he's a more intelligent presser.
Jackson is an animal of a presser. He's amazing.
No, I think he just like runs around a lot.
When him and Palmer go, they go. I mean, it's tough.
And also, we've mentioned this before, like, say Jackson sort of dies off a bit. Yeah, I don't think Neto was doing that. 90 minutes as well, just running around like headless chicken. I was really impressed.
It's part of the problem with Neto, though. Headless chicken, and in front of Garway, he's a headless chicken a little bit, which is like, it's what he is.
I think he did really, you got to remember as well that he's been stuck on the touchline, standing there in a position, not being released. This is what he was doing at Wolves so well. This is why Wolves were really effective with him in the team. You know, you come down the bridge and he ran past all our players exactly the same. And this is where we want to see him. And I don't like him in that position where he's like hugging the touchline and we're inverting people and it just doesn't look good. This is much more suited to his game. Get the best out of him. Probably the most shots he's ever had. He got the assist. I mean,
it's funny, like, if Southampton play a deep block, Neto in a 9 won't work.
I disagree. I think he's smart enough to work stuff out.
So. I'm not sure about that. He's basically just going to be really, really effective versus the high line because it kind of reverts him to how he was for Wolves. He's a transitional player where he's very good in transition and he struggles against low blocks like a lot of this team. So
he was moving around the front line really smart. Like if you look around his positional play, he was moving really into some really good areas.
I think he's just running into. But we'll see. But he might prove me wrong against Southampton. I'm not sure he'll play him in 9 against Southampton. He might do it.
I think you have to. I think he probably will. We need the ball back, so you got to put someone in that position. He's going to run.
He was good, but it's, you know, it's square peg and round hole.
He should have been screaming at Nkunku. He needs to get to a level where he can just start shouting at him, because that's where we need to be, where people are screaming at each other, pushing people on. We'll get there, I think, but it starts with that sort of thing, and you know, let's see how we get on. I think it, you know, I remember Cavani playing for Man United. It's that kind of level. That's what you need to be at, that pressing level, and it, you know, you can just make something out of nothing. And I was really impressed. I would have put him at boiling hot. I genuinely think he was outstanding. You kind of like the forward.
We traditionally don't do boiling hot, do we, for wins?
That's true.
For losses, sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was really great.
Any other warming ups?
Well, it's my turn for warming up, and I'm going with Enzo Fernandez back in the position that suits him best. Two midfielders, gets a goal. Thought he was
Frank Lampard.
Yeah, was doing all right in the game. I mean, give him warming up. I think there's some instances still where, you know, his pace is exposed badly. And I thought McGinn, you know, he looked like a stronger player than him on, you know, when Enzo's pressing him, I didn't feel like he was going to win the ball off him. But yeah, he's much better in this role when he's got two DMs behind him. So I'll give him a little props.
Yeah, he was really good, Enzo. problem with him is I just wish he was better. I think he's kind of playing at his level.
I think a lot of players will look good with two of DMs behind him. And I like Enzo Fernandez, but he isn't really a 10. He isn't really an 8, and he isn't really a 6. That's his problem. I don't know what he is. I think he's very odd. He's a bit like Kovacic. He's a bit of an odd player to kind of bracket, almost. And like, he was good in this game, but I wouldn't really want him in the 10 long term, to be honest. I think you can get someone far more productive in the team. And he played well when he got a goal, but it's his fourth goal of the season. You know, if you're going to play someone in that position, you need him getting 10, 12, 15 goals a season.
I mean, he was lucky not to get the goal last week against Brighton as well. I think there are moments in the game where the problem with him is he always wants to play either a short pass or a long pass. And there's not a lot of moments in the game where he's good enough to get the ball, like you see with Liverpool, you know, like their midfielders, like Gravenberch and stuff, where they get the ball and they can run forward athletically and beat people and open the game up. And that will always be a big restriction in his game. And I think that's why he'll never, for me, really be a part of a team that can operate at a really high level, because he's a bit hamstrung in that area. I mean, you know, you can maybe force him in behind someone, but it limits us quite a lot. But I thought he was really great in the game. So, you know, well played for the most part.
Is that it? Oh, yeah, you're warming up with Reece James. Oh, yeah. Any boiling hot? I mean, that wasn't for me.
Well, I had Neto. I thought he was really great.
Yeah, I mean, you could obviously argue that Neto was deserving of that, but yeah, whatever. But
we'll have to create like a new category somewhere between boiling hot and warming up. I'll come up with it.
All right. Well, we've got the Southampton game coming up, and we'll do a preview pod for that game, which will be available after this pod as well. And our game after that is Copenhagen away, which is not till a week Thursday. So we've got a bit of a break after the Southampton game for a bit of R&R. So hopefully the players enjoy that. But yeah, that's all we've got time for today. Thanks very much, guys.
No worries.
No problem.
Hopefully we'll have a win to celebrate in the next pod. That'd be nice. But regardless of the results, surely we will be back. But for more updates on all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thanks for listening.